Welcome back to another episode of Obsessed with Death. Thank you for continuing to listen and support the podcast. It's greatly appreciated. Today we have the creator of widowsfire.com. It is a place where you can meet other WIDs who are interested in exploring new connections with the potential for friendship, companionship, or even a romantic relationship. As some of you who are listening know, you know, dating can be a little tough after you lose your partner, especially if it was traumatic or out of nowhere. An unexpected death is going to make it difficult to get back out there. And I think Widow's Fire is a great place to start if you're looking to get back out there, or whatever it is you're looking for. If that sounds like something you're interested in, definitely listen to the episode and check out widowsfire.com for more info. Of course, please continue to support and share the podcast. All that stuff helps a ton. And enjoy another episode of Obsessed with Death. All right. We did it. We're here. It took some planning. I'm glad you're feeling better, and I'm excited to have you on the podcast.
Thank you. Great to be here. Let's talk about death and what it does to us.
Yes, that's what we're here for, right? We're here to talk about death. More specifically, Widow's Fire, which is something that we're going to get into in a little bit. But I wanted to start off obviously with a little bit of background. If you could maybe, you know, tell us who you are, how you got to where you're at right now. And then, like I said, maybe we'll get more into, Widow's Fire and the app itself, but where are you from? Where did this start? How did you end up here?
Sure. Well, I'll condense it down because it's such a big story. I'd love to just kind of get right to the fact that I had a birth and death experience in the same month. Wow. So it was March of 2018, and I had just given birth to my first child. And then my husband, who was 32 at the time, died of bowel cancer so randomly. He was one of those stories you hear about, perfectly healthy guy. And it just got him out of nowhere. And he died a few weeks later. And I wanted to touch on what his final hours were like, because there are people listening who are literally obsessed with death. And I got to witness someone in that process.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking to someone right now who's literally obsessed, and just already I'm like in shock, and that's so scary for it to be obviously somebody that you're spending your life with and having a child with, and for them to seem, like you said, relatively healthy and young, and for that to come out of nowhere and for it to all happen so quickly is so scary.
I was living in London, England. We had a wonderful life there, and I cared for him while I was pregnant. So it was just so surreal. He lived for 8 months after his diagnosis, and he actually died really suddenly. He didn't deteriorate like you'd maybe hear about with cancer. He actually had a surgery to fit a stoma bag. And his body couldn't handle the recovery. So I actually got, a phone call, or many, many missed calls, in the early hours of the morning. And I was told he had a few hours to live. I was told on the phone out of nowhere, and I had to get my newborn baby and some of his family to the hospital. And so my death experience with him that I was a part of was in an ICU. He was curtained off. Just picture like terrible fluorescent lighting, chaotic, just people rushing around other people's problems. And he's hooked up to a ton of tubes, and he he was going, he knew he was going, and he signed his own DNR and like triple checked it. And it was a very inspiring experience, actually. He didn't want to be here anymore. He just didn't want to deal with it. When I got to him, the first thing he said to me was, very first thing he goes, "Babe, I died in the night and they brought me back and I wish they hadn't."
Wow.
And the way he said it, just for your people who listen to this, because I sometimes watch near death experiences, people talking about those on YouTube and things. And it's just very reassuring. I find it very comforting. I do feel like where we go is so awesome that the idea of having to come back is like, no. No.
Yeah. Right.
You know, he was like, no, I want to go there. So like, can we get the process going? So that was really comforting. And I felt very composed. I felt very like, I don't know, but pretty calm as it was all happening. And he sort of just allowed it. So I asked him, "What did you see when you died?"
Yeah.
And he said, "You and the baby, our baby." He said that he had seen us. And I was like, "Well, you didn't see your dad? Like, his dad had died years before." I was like, I was thinking, "Oh, you're going to say your dad came to get you or something."
Yeah.
He was like, no. He had just seen me and our baby. So who knows what that means? He was struggling to breathe. So I kick myself now. I wish I'd asked him a bit more detail. Like, where were we? Like, is it another dimension?
Yeah. sure. So, yeah. I mean,
but he was on medications. They slowly, did their thing where I told him, "Why don't you close your eyes and try and relax? You're going to feel better soon." We sort of tiptoed around what was happening. And then they actually said, I was like, what's going to happen next? And they said, "Well, look at his face. He looks very peaceful." And I've heard about how people who have kids, young people, kids, they really don't want to go and they resist death and they actually clench and they're sort of gripping and they don't, they go out kind of like, "I don't want to." Mm-hmm. And he just allowed it. That's why I use the word inspiring. It's almost like he gave me an example of how to just surrender and allow and kind of lie back and go for the ride.
Sure. Yeah.
So that was sort of that in a nutshell. And then so began everything that has to happen after that for the rest of your life and all the grieving and the coping. And to reference one of your episodes with Mary Frances O'Connor.
Yeah.
One key, like, great takeaway from that. She talks about taking action to rewire and update your brain that the person's not there anymore.
Sure.
You need to do things to process what's going on. And what I discovered is that when it's your spouse specifically, when they are not there, I was missing my person who I do sexual stuff with.
Mm-hmm.
So when people are grieving, you almost sort of pick a drug of choice for coping. And some people go for, meds like antidepressants, or they drink to numb it, or they're smoking or eating or not eating, or, and I think a lot of people know there are a ton of benefits to sex and in general in life, having a healthy sex
of
life.
Of course. Yeah.
Has been proven to, for depression and anxiety, it's good for your immune system, blood pressure, your sleep, your libido, like every, it is its own form of medicine.
Sure. It's part of life. Yeah.
Right. It is part of life. And I didn't know how much it would hit me that part of my life was missing. And it's all I wanted. And there was this panic that set in about, when will I ever sleep with someone again? Like, who's going to touch me? When will that happen? Touch, just human touch. If you're used to getting hugs and kisses and cuddles from your partner and all the rest of it, like everything that intimacy means.
Yeah.
When that's wiped out, it's huge, I think, for so many widows and widowers. Well, I know it is because of the community that I've built, which I sort of wish existed in the earlier days because it's all I thought about. It's honestly all I thought about all the time. There was a lot of anger, resentment, very bitter about the fact that that was gone. And why would people expect that there'd be a certain kind of timeline where you should wait to do anything like that again or date? You know, I was 31 years old with a newborn baby. So I never thought for a second, like, well, my life is over now.
Of course, yes,
my life was over, but it was like, well, I'm going to have to start a new one. I don't know how, but like, I don't want to be alone forever. And I have needs and I'm a normal human being with desires.
Of course.
So, the idea of going without anything to do with affection, touch, intimacy felt like extra cruel on top of grief. It's like, oh, you already got to deal with the sadness and the anger and the loneliness and the confusion. But like on top of that, you can't, you know?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Like, it feels mean, like a punishment, on you know, cherry on top of this brutal thing that's happened to you.
It is. Yeah. I mean, it's cruel, right? And it's so interesting because you don't, I guess the typical grieving process or when you see grief portrayed, that's not something that's really discussed at all. And I think a big part of it is because for whatever reason, people are like uncomfortable with sex and people are weird about it. And some people don't like talking about it. It's like death. It's very much like death. It makes people uncomfortable for whatever reason, you know?
Yeah, it should actually be a stage of grief like that. It's put in there to normalize it because it is a taboo. Right? And yet it's kind of a ridiculous taboo, really, because you're just a normal human being. And so it's already brutal enough if someone's like, oh, what's new with you? Oh, my husband died. Like, that's already awkward. And then it's like, so how are you doing? Well, I'm really horny.
I was going to say, nobody goes, oh, man. So I guess that means like you're not getting laid anymore, right? That's such a bummer.
And that would be such a cool thing to say to someone.
Of course.
That's
part of what's happening. It's like, oh, you had this partner and you had, you know, I'm sure a lot of people, unfortunately, you know, that lose partners, they had a great sex life together. And now that part of their life is gone. And sex could be a complicated thing. And I think we've all had bad sex in our lives. So like, clearly that exists. So it's like, you can't just immediately go find another person and have that thing that you just lost.
Yeah,
so I think that so that's, I think it's so important to talk about. And again, just sort of going back to the, you know, the comfort level of some people, I think a big reason why is because for whatever reason, whether it's how you're raised or just, I don't know who you are as a human, some people get uncomfortable with that stuff. And sure, there's a lot of factors in somebody passing, but again, this part of life is such a, I mean, we're all thinking about it, but nobody wants to talk about it. It's a big part of our lives and it should be discussed in grief. And I think it's great that you're so open and honest about it because most people are not, or they're uncomfortable. And I try and be sensitive to people being uncomfortable. I get it. I have friends that get weird when you try and talk about anything sexual. And I don't know. I grew up with like a group of friends where we were like way too open with each other. Like we were like extremely, extremely just like open and honest about stuff. So I always have to be careful when I'm around like new people because it does make people uncomfortable. But to mix that with death, it's like, I mean, it's just two of the things in life that make people the most uncomfortable.
Yes. Yeah. There's a time and a place for it, which is why a specific place, like a community of people that can speak openly about it, who are all going through it.
Yeah. You probably don't need to bring it up during like the funeral, you know,
right.
It's probably not the best place.
It's basically, it's fascinated me for so long because I dealt with it for a couple of years before I even found out there's a term for it. And then by actually creating a community for it, it's evolved on its own to be this place where people can that they can find it hopefully early on. So they just already don't feel like they're going crazy.
Yeah.
But there's people of all ages. So that what we're talking about, sex and grief and death and all of that, can happen to anyone at any age. So it's not just like young people who want to have sex, like come over here. Like,
of course. Yeah.
It's all ages. You've got people in their 70s who are talking about all the sex they were having or are now having. And when you talked about, you know, we've all had bad sex, some people who are joining, these members who come to the community, some of them are telling me they were in a sexless marriage for 10, 20 years.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's almost
too,
like, here's a wonderful opportunity for you to rediscover your sexuality, or like you actually are free to do whatever you want now. And that's what makes like grief is so bittersweet. Like the loss of a spouse can actually open up your whole life in this new way that feels like, well, that's weird, because it's, you know, all these things are only happening because my person died. But the adventures I've been on, the flings, the dating apps, the first dates, second dates, short-term, long-term relationships, everything that's happened in the past 5 years, is as so much of it has been exciting, with this sort of also this piece of like, holy, like this is only because my husband died.
Yeah.
That all this is happening. So sure. That's what makes it also even more complex when you talk to widows. It's not like, you know, you want it to be lighthearted, positive, fun, inspiring, what I'm doing. But there, you know, there's a lot of pain in there as well. And people vulnerable who are nervous about showing their body again to someone new, or worried about being taken advantage of, or like it's just a lot.
Sure. And do you feel like this was sort of the motivation behind, was there anything like specifically that like motivated you to sort of create this app and move to the space?
Yes, there was an actual moment that happened during lockdown where a widower buddy of mine, I connected with a few people through some different organizations and foundations or whatever. And he messaged me that he had a new girlfriend. He's like, I'm seeing someone. And it was early days for him. He hadn't been widowed long, but he was like, okay, I'm seeing this girl and I'm so relieved because I'm having tons of sex. He's like, I get to have sex again. Like I'm having all this sex and like, oh, I feel so normal again.
Yeah.
And I was honestly sitting in lockdown, trapped at my mother-in-law's house with a baby. And I just was fuming. Like, I just remember thinking, like, I just hated the lack of intimacy in my life. And I was so bothered. And I had nowhere to take that feeling. I had no one to talk to about it. I didn't know, like, even among my widow buddies, aside from him, it's like, I had a few girlfriends. I didn't even know if I could broach the subject with them. Because some people are, even the widows themselves, widows, widowers, they don't always necessarily want, you know, feel that way. So it's like, do I admit that I just really want to be with someone and not have it mean anything? You know, you worry about judgment or this like guilt stuff and people being like, oh, well, they're just not in that place. I was like, I don't know where to go. I was like, what do I do with these feelings? I'm so frustrated.
Yeah. Cause they're very specific feelings. And like you said, they're feelings that you assume some people might judge you because of. So it's helpful.
Yeah, I hadn't asked anyone yet. I hadn't spoken even to a widow buddy about it yet. But when he brought it up, I was like, oh my God, this is such a huge aspect of my grief. Something needs to happen here. So I was looking stuff up and then I got the, you know, domain name. I was like, I'm starting something. I don't know what it is. It's just like, here's a website.
It's
huge. It was the biggest thing that it just overwhelmed me, and I didn't see it coming. So I think the shock of it is what I'm also hearing from other people. They just didn't know they were going to feel this strong of a desire. So widow's fire, the definition of it, is a burning desire for sex following the bereavement, the loss of a spouse or partner. And it really does feel that way. It's like, oh my gosh, you feel like it would soothe you. You feel like it just would help you feel something that feels good. That's not the pain of your loss. Yeah. So it all makes sense. Like it should be no surprise that this is something that people are, you know, want to have existing.
Yeah. And like you said, obviously there's all of this medical sort of information that explains like the importance of having a healthy sex life and what it does for, you know, the immune system and everything else. So it would only make sense that, yeah, why wouldn't that sort of help you in this grieving process or whatever it is you're sort of going through?
Yeah. We're meant to be touched regularly. In general, you hear about babies, you know, die if they're not held.
Yeah.
And I read something about, like, we're meant to have like 6 conscious, like intentional forms of touch a day for mental health. Like, you know, hugs.
Yeah.
You know,
it doesn't help that you're also in lockdown during all of this. So like, you're not really getting any sort of social interaction just in general on top of all of that. So I'm sure that must have just added on to all of it.
And I didn't know where it would go. And so I didn't know what I was doing with it, because it wasn't that I wanted to share all my thoughts and feelings.
Yeah.
I didn't need that. It's like, I don't need an outlet for me. It's more like, how can I help other people not feel weird about this? Because I actually was like, I don't feel weird about the fact I feel this way. I feel like this has got to be pretty normal and fair enough that I just have needs. You know, nothing about it caused me any guilt. The idea of dating again, like, I didn't suffer that. I didn't have that. So I didn't know what I really wanted to do, but it ended up being like, I just want to help other people. And then it evolved within the past sort of year into a community of people that are interested in taking steps in grief, whatever that means to them. And there's the option or the opportunity for dating. So it turned into like promoting this piece about if you're in the community engaging publicly, you do have an option. There is an inbox. You can private message people. You can, you know, make a profile. You have your photo, a little bio. Where are you in the world? And then who knows? So you sort of let people know what you're looking for. Is it friendship, companionship, you know, something casual? Are you ready to date more seriously? Like, where are you at? So you let the other widows and widowers know where you are, like what you're sort of exploring. Because I think, aside from the dating apps and everything else that exists about how you can meet people, I think it's nice to have just another option. Like, this is just another way that you can connect and be in touch with people. And they just sort of speak your language. So there's something already when you meet someone in this community that you kind of have a certain something in common that others don't necessarily, well, absolutely can't understand, actually. And I had 2 members who met last September, and they just got married on the 5th of June.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah, really, really lovely. 2 people that were actually just sort of exploring, seeing if they wanted to, you know, meet like a friend with benefits, and they fell in love, and between them, they now have 7 kids.
Oh my gosh. And
they said, you know, we're bringing the 2 broken families together.
That's amazing.
And it's just like a lovely, happy story that I just think, well, this was totally worth it then, if people are meeting and can move forward.
So one of the first things that I sort of thought about, and you just briefly touched on this, when I first started, you know, reading and learning about what you're doing, is when you're trying to date, like you just mentioned, obviously I think one of the biggest parts of dating is finding things that you have in common, right? Like finding somebody that you share similar interests with, right? So I almost felt like this is like a no-brainer of some sort, because you immediately have this thing that you both can like absolutely connect on, which is obviously losing somebody that you care about. And of course, it's like, it's not maybe the most ideal thing to have in common, but I think that you're going to get a better connection between the two of you by relating and sort of discussing and bonding, whatever the right word is for that, through your grief together, than say like, oh, you both love, you know, dorky comedy movies or whatever it is, you know, like there's already like this like built in, you know, bond between the two of you based off of these experiences you've had.
Yes.
And I feel like that's such an advantage almost.
It is
when you meet somebody.
It's not intimidating that's what's going on, that's something that's happened in your life. If you meet someone and you tell them that you've lost your husband and you have a fatherless child, you know, that's not always someone's first choice, and we all have our stuff, but it's almost like it cancels that out as being a big deal.
Yeah.
Which was really nice. Yeah. Like, and I have gone out with a couple of widowers. A few years ago, I went out with a man who'd been married for 25 years and he had 4 kids, and I just really felt for him. I was a couple of years since I'd lost my husband. So I went out with him and we had a great time and we did really hit it off. And I just felt like I could say to him, you know, have you kissed anyone since your wife? Like, he'd lost her about, you know, 6 months before or something. And he just needed to get out. And a mutual friend had suggested we go out. And I said, have you kissed anyone? And he said, no. And I said, would you like to? And he was like, well, yeah. And I gave him a kiss. And there was this feeling of like, you know, and I really said to him, like, anything that we want to do, if you felt all of a sudden like you've hit this weird limit that's like, actually, no, I feel strange, guilty, like I can't do this, it's too soon, I wouldn't take it personally. I, you know, that kind of rejection, I'd be like, I totally understand. Like, you have to explore carefully, and I'm a safe person to do that with. So there, and I've spoken to a widow who was with a man, and it took her quite a while to build up to even being able to take her clothes off in front of him. And he was very understanding, but she was just like, I don't know how to do this. You know, it's actually a huge deal for some people. Others, you hear about, they just go out, sleep with whoever, and that's how they're coping. Or, you know, just because you want, this is another thing I really want to clarify, is just because you have the desire, it doesn't mean you act on it. And that's why I try to bring in the word intimacy when I'm talking about Widow's Fire and what I'm doing, because it's not about like, it's not just sex. It's not just about having sex. It's everything you ever shared with your person who's gone, or that you ever would in a romantic relationship. It's all of it. It's just like the kiss, the cuddle, the little things.
Yeah.
And so it's not just about someone who's experiencing widow's fire will actually sleep with people. You could not, you know, you could go a year and you've maybe been on a couple of dates, but all, you know, you've got the fire, but it doesn't actually mean, I think it could be perceived so many different ways when you hear about it.
Yeah.
So that's something I'm trying to soften.
Yeah. It's not this place where, you know, if you're looking, it's not like a hookup app in some aspects, I guess it could be for certain people. If that's what you're looking for,
and you
find someone who's also looking for the same thing. But I wouldn't look at it like that. Obviously, that was not like the intention of like what you were doing when you put this together. Yeah. But it's just another part of it. I mean, again, like this whole, you know, feeling behind sex just in general. Obviously, sex can be complicated and confusing, and to add on top of that, the fact that you're grieving and you're going through this, again, I think it's helpful that you're meeting other people that are feeling similar to you. But yeah, of course, there's so many levels of intimacy, and one of them obviously can be having sex. But I think just finding somebody that you could like talk to and relate to, and like you said, just be close to in other ways.
Exactly,
having an outlet for that, having this app, this website that you can go to and find those people, I think is so important and so great that you're doing, because it's just, again, one of these things where people just you know, get uncomfortable with death, and they don't maybe necessarily have a lot of people to talk to about it, or they just, you know, the people that they do have aren't great. Some people are just not great with like helping people grieve, and that's okay too. You don't have to be like this expert. You know, you mentioned Mary Frances O'Connor, and I mean, she is like just this masterful human being. You know, I absolutely loved talking to her. The book that she wrote, I don't know if you read her book, she wrote a book called The Grieving Brain, and it's incredible. I recommend it to anybody who's dealing with any sort of grief.
Yeah, I love when the neuroscientists step in with anything to back up, you know, normal things that happen during grief, which is basically anything, like literally anything you think or feel is normal. And I'd almost love to redefine widow's fire as just literally being your sexuality.
Yeah, right.
as a person.
I totally agree, and she did put it on this level where when we spoke, I was definitely nervous in the sense that, like, I'm like trying to have a conversation with a neuroscientist and I'm just like this weirdo with a death podcast. So there was like a little bit of an intimidation factor to it. And then we, at some point in our conversation, we were talking about how it's okay to have a beer with breakfast while you're grieving. Like if that's what helps, you know, do that. And I'm like, okay, this is, you know, an amazing person. Yeah,
the worst bit is like people will join and tell me stuff that they're doing and worry about the fact they're doing it. And it's like, that's such a waste of time. I feel totally sad that you're actually feeling like you need to overthink the choices you're making right now. Like nothing about what you're thinking and feeling and doing is weird or wrong at all. And it's like, I wish you weren't having to experience that extra layer on top of the feelings of thinking that you shouldn't feel that way.
I totally agree. And I think what's sort of interesting about all of that and grief in general is like, you would assume this person just lost somebody. It's sort of this eye-opening experience that life is short. It could end in an instant. And then they're also like stressing about all of these like little things where it's like, no. This is the part where you're supposed to be like, I don't give a shit what anybody thinks. I'm going to do what makes me happy right now. Cause like, this could all just be over in an instant. But unfortunately, it's not like that for everybody. People are still very, worried about what others are going to think about what they do. And again, just going back to this, it's like, I think people are worried about when that right time is to sort of put yourself out there again and maybe try and meet somebody and all of that can get complicated, and it's unfortunate. But we're here to tell you, whoever's listening right now, don't worry about that. You know, try and put yourself out there, and if as long as you feel like you're ready, that's all I think that matters, right? Is as long as you're ready, also, you feel comfortable.
Knowing that you probably wouldn't ever technically feel ready, which is why sometimes it's about ripping the Band-Aid off, which I totally did. I was like, this isn't going to be fun. I'm going to go out and date with this guy and I'm not going to love it. And I went on the date and cried the whole walk home. I went to get it over with, and then just walked home being like, I can't believe I even have to do this. I can't believe I even have to navigate the dating world. How it is, what am I doing here? So it's like, it's not pleasant. There's so many highs and lows to dating anyway, like even if you're not widowed have a kid also. Yeah. So the big like fun, positive, like way to wrap up, I suppose, this conversation would be for me to promote Widow's Fire as being a really great motivator. If your outlook can be that the Widow's Fire is actually serving a great purpose, the fact you're feeling feelings and recognizing desires and having to get to know yourself again is actually a great tool to move your life forward. It can steer you on a new, scary, unknown path, but it does actually push you. Like when the desire is there, it can get you to take action. And that's sort of what's great about it. Because if we didn't feel this like spark igniting in us, and sometimes it hits you like right away or a few weeks later, or people write in and say, oh, it didn't hit me for a year, 2 years, all of a sudden whenever that little thing, that flame gets going in you, it's actually a great indicator that you are alive and you should do something and then thank the fire, like make friends with it, have a relationship with it the same way you have to create a relationship with your grief. Decide that Widow's Fire, the fire, is there for you. It'll kick in sometimes, ease off, it'll be whatever. And just, it's there. It's just going to be there, and let it guide you. Let it motivate you. Let it get you to go on a date. You know, what is the worst thing that could happen? You didn't have a good time. Okay. Like at least the heat of it pushed you, like nudged you forward. So I think it actually could be seen as a great thing. Instead of being frustrated by it, which I was for a long time, I was just angry about it. I think it could actually be something that people could say, like, okay, the fire made me go do this. Now what do we know about ourselves? Now what do we learn about ourselves? I like this, I don't like that, I tried this, whatever. That's living. So you're living your life.
Yeah, and I think it's like you said, it's a great motivator, right? Because I think a lot of people probably struggle with like getting back out there, and just even just I've spoken to people who, you know, grief has made it difficult for them to just like get out of bed in the morning, right? Like to like cook a meal for themselves. So obviously, don't feel like if you're listening to this and you're not like immediately ready to like get into it, like that's okay. Take your time. Like you said, ease into it. I think that's important. I think that's an important point to make, is that this is like a great motivator. It's not here to be like, this is what you have to do right now, but easing into it, I think is the right way to go.
Yeah. Friends with the fire.
I love it. We are sending people to widowsfire.com. That is the best place. There's an Instagram as well. Is that correct?
Yep.
Where could they find you on Instagram? Is it just widowsfire?
Widowsfire. Yep.
Awesome. Yeah. So if this sounds, you know, like something that could be of help to you or a friend or whatever it is, definitely check it out or share with somebody that you think. That's what I think is a big part of it too. It's like, I know people that that would benefit from this. I think that's gotta be a big part of it, is, you know, sharing it with other people, I think is probably the best way for people to find out about it. Right. Is like, if you're comfortable enough to share that aspect with your friend. But I have a friend 100% that I was like, I think this would be great for you. So
that's great. And anyone who's not widowed, who's listening to this and is like, I just want to like check it out, maybe I can meet someone. Yeah, like we know, us WIDs, as I call us WIDs, totally know that you're not widowed. There's so many things that just indicate that. And as soon as someone's in an inbox asking for money, or there's some kind of scamming, or like, I have all these trusted members who just message me, they're like, hey, Julia, this person's not widowed. And I just ban, you will be banned immediately. It's like really pointless. Don't try to sneak in.
Yeah, don't be a weirdo. Like, like that's what Tinder or all that other bullshit's for. Go be a weird. Go be a weirdo over there. Leave everyone alone, please.
Yeah, WIDs have enough to deal with.
Yeah, they're going through something. We don't need your creepy bullshit on top of that. So just go. Don't even think about it. Like you just heard, you will be banned immediately. Which is great. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. This has been great. You know, like I said, I love what you're doing. I think it's really, really important, and you're helping a ton of people, which is, I think, the most important part of all of this, right? Is that it feels good to help people. So it's like, you're doing a thing that's helping people. I'm sure it feels good to help people. So there's a lot coming from this that I think is really,
it really does. I thank you. I really appreciate your support.
Yeah, please. I unfortunately am not the audience for this, but I am so thrilled that there's something for all of these different people. So again, if this seems like something that's of interest to you, check it out. And of course, again, take your time, move slowly, but if you're ready to get back out there, go check it out. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been great.
Fantastic. Thank you.
All right.